if they'll take you around, not if they just give you a list of people to call on. Because you go out with that list, and you've still got to deal with a lot of suspicion and so forth, because they don't know whether the priest really did this or not, and whether he really knows you or not, and so forth. But if you can convince that priest not to give you a list, you explain to him that that's great of you, Father, to offer to give me a list, but it just doesn't work. And I'd appreciate it very much if you just give me a couple of hours of your time tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, and go out with me to call on just a few of the people in your parish that you think might be a little bit sympathetic, or at least open-minded about the farmers. Well, of course, what I'm talking about mainly right now, when we're talking about the two groups that are represented here, I don't think you're going to have all that trouble in getting at farm workers. You've already got any number of farm workers that are sympathetic, and they have friends. But I am thinking more about the service center people that are here in the process of their work in organizing the old timers, who are not farm workers. And maybe you don't know very many old timers. Maybe you do. One of those what?
Nutrition programs where they have one meal a day for 50 to 75 cents, depending on what area you're in. Down there, if you start talking to the people down there, mm-hmm. the people down there, you can probably get a house meeting set up, as well as you can find a whole lot of problems that they have.
I doubt if you would have any success there. You know why? Because those people don't get anything for free, you know.
No.
This
is more specifically, the government pays to have one meal a day given to them. Okay? They pay 50 cents to 75 cents for that meal.
Yeah, no, we got a program in the next 3rd or 4 miles, and they pay to see them.
They're what?
They pay to see them, you know. I said.
The old people?
Yeah.
In some areas it might be like that.
But I would put that as a second or third choice. That's one way to get at it. But it's so much better, so much easier to convince them of what we want if we can find somebody who's already sympathetic, and we know they're sympathetic, you know? Now, I just can't help but think that there must be people, old people, in every area that are already sympathetic.
Just like the wrong order, there's a lot of old people retired, used to be farm workers.
Yeah.
And when I asked them, would they like to help people, you know, in the union, like one little man, he said, I told him, well, I had to find these other people. He said, don't get those, I have some other ones, I'd like to be in the union first.
Oh.
They already know who has me, he'd like to be in the union.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of old people in that area.
And I think many of these people, and especially those people who live around them, they're anxious to have someone to listen to them, you know. Nobody listens really to those people, you know.
Yeah.
That's what
the organizer is there for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just by giving a few minutes, you know, listen to them, because that many people, they wouldn't get satisfaction if they could get a person, you just to listen to them, you know.
Yeah.
And they throw all their gripes, you know, and then after that, that's what you come in, you know.
Well,
I think Toledo has the better example than problems in the state, you know, you got a very good example, because you got the organizer there, those people are not only old, you know, but they're organized, they're older than you, not older than us. You got the organizer there, you got a great example, you know, you got the police there. Which many of us, I mean, we just clean up.
Well, how many work in place where you have no union contracts yet? And like I say, the union's not organized, how would you organize there yet? So how do you explain from trying to organize old people, how do you explain from trying to organize them yet?
How do you explain, what was that?
How do you explain to them that you're trying to organize them, and they've got, they've never been organized as a conference?
Well.
You're organizing the conference, or you're organizing the old people?
Well, no, they, well, how many are on the staff? Are you both, aren't you? You're the director of the service then and the director of the field office.
There's no field office.
Oh, there's no field office.
We have no contracts.
Oh.
Just the service then.
Well, oh, I see.
What I mean is, how do you explain people if you're, you know, they want to know about when the union is coming there. So how do you explain to them we're going to organize the older people first or the problems first?
Well, you're not organizing any farm workers right now.
Well, kind of beginning stages of really.
In what way?
Signing authorization cards and talking to them.
But that one just doesn't go to conference. I mean, they're literally going out.
Not to the branches, no, not to the fields or anything like that. But that's what I meant. How do you explain to them we're trying to organize them if we haven't organized farm workers yet?
Well, I think that you can explain it the same way that we explained back in the eastern states when people say, how come you're not organizing the farm workers back here instead of out, you know, and you're devoting full time out there? Well, we explain, well, we have to establish a base in the area where we've already started, and then we can begin to move out. And, well, one of the places that we'll want to move is down to Southern California or down to on the border there eventually with the industry. But we can help with possibly an old folks organization. We haven't got the staff to come in and help get contracts now, so that would probably involve a strike, and who knows, maybe a boycott of certain products. We just haven't got the staff to do that. But the organization of a poor people's union doesn't take all that much staff, and so we can spare the time to work on that, so that then there'll be, say, a San Diego or a San Isidro branch of the poor people's union down here to work together with all the other branches of the poor people's union that's being established throughout the state. Now, say, when you take that Delano situation, and you do have a lot of the old Filipino brothers who are 65 or over, getting Social Security and so forth, they undoubtedly have, who are hanging around the union there, 40 acres, they probably have other friends who aren't hanging around out there. Isn't that true? And so that if you could, you know, start working here and there with them, some of them could invite some of their friends to come. And I suppose a majority of them would be, I don't know, but I suppose a majority of them would be other Filipinos or other Chicanos, but here and there, some of them may be friendly with other old people. I just don't know what that kind of a...
It's different. You've got more than just the old people in the Delano area. Mm-hmm. It's the service center is not just old people. Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering if there'd be any conflict.
Any what?
Any conflict between the two things.
Well, there doesn't have to be any conflict if it's understood that only the old people can belong to. See, where the conflict would come in is if both young and old people start flocking into the old timers organization and took it away from the old timers, you know. Because that's what could happen if we weren't careful about it. We made sure that only certain people were eligible to be a part of that organization, why I think we can avoid that. But I can also see how, well, for instance, those people that you mentioned that are getting meals and so forth at certain places would perhaps here and there be making friends outside of their own ethnic backgrounds, and so that we could gradually get over, among, say, the, in addition to the Filipinos and the Mexicans, we might be able to get some blacks in and some Anglos.
You know, I think it's a very good idea to go to a mission or to a...
To what?
A mission, like, Americans have a mission that, there's lots of old men downtown as well, they go and spend a day there, they get one evening. That could be, you think that's like a second, third choice, for making a contact?
Yeah, I think so, because you haven't made any contact yourself there with any of them. They don't know you. But here and there, you know, something like Stockton, for instance, the church was running a mission for the people. And then when they eventually closed that down, they still kept in touch with a lot of the old-timers and went down to the other mission for the one meal. So the church was able to, when we were organizing the CSO, they were able to help us get at some of those people that they already knew. And when you can get them to do that, see, they're sort of running interference, you know, like a football game, the priest is running the interference for you, and he already knows that person. That person doesn't have any suspicion of the priest or the minister or whoever the other, it doesn't have to be that, but spiritual leaders can, you know, be some other a person that the people in the neighborhood have confidence in, but those just happen to be the two that I've worked with. And they don't stay around with you. If you can get somebody to render appearance for you like that, take you around to call on a few of the old timers. Or it doesn't have to be old timers. It can, you know, it can be some of the illegals. If, you know, they go to, a lot of the illegals go to church, and maybe you know, church can help you get at some of them, but nobody else can. But what the priests, I'll give you an example. When I was start organizing in San Jose, I mentioned yesterday, this morning, Father Donald McDonald there, right at the Guadalupe Church on the east side. And he listened to what I had to say, and then he said, okay, what do you want me to do? Right, just like that. It was that kind of a person. I said, well, I want you to help me get at some other people out in your parish so I can tell them the same thing I told you and try and get them interested in the CSO. So he said, okay, let's go. And we got in his Jeep and went out to the east side and he took me around. And we spent about 5 minutes at each house. See, I didn't go there to have him stay with me while I conducted a personal visit that might last a half an hour or 45 minutes. I just had him go there and introduce me to the person. Then I made a date with each person, and then to come back and see that person individually later that afternoon or the following day or a couple of days later, whatever. So in 2 hours' time, he had me dated up to call on about 10 different families, where I went back and spent anywhere from a half hour to 45 minutes talking to that one person or to that family. With the best kind of recommendations, because he was a wonderful priest and he was very popular with the people, and he broke down any suspicion that the people might have had of me, and it just worked very well. That's how I happened to bring that up, and that's the way it can be worked.
Like in a government housing area? It's run by Catholic priests.
Oh,
yeah. And he's sympathetic, and he says the people there don't know anything about him. He calls it a gospel.
Yeah.
So I have an advantage for them also.
Sure. Well, that sounds great. Is that his name?
Father Blessed, maybe you know.
What's his name?
Blessed. He's the head of the Augustinian Order in California. He's real sympathetic.
Oh, that's great. Well,
you know that place now?
Huh?
Pull off pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially if you know how to play a little bit.
Well, it's a good way of...
Well, you know, Salinas, they have a big one, it's about the third time, fourth time that I've been there. I mean, they got another few that just stand around watching for everything.
The old timers?
Yeah.
Well, you got a good priest over there, too. Is he still there?
No, I don't know. They got him someplace where he's never seen.
Father Cross.
Yes, if you're going to organize a time with Social Security, an idea is to go to the Social Security office and visit with them right away to D.C.
That is, if you can't... Right. If you can't get at them through a sympathetic person, the best way by far to get at any of these people is through somebody that knows them and that they have confidence in and respect for and aren't suspicious of and so on. And then, you've got to convince them to do something. It isn't just a matter of talking to them. You have one goal in mind when you're doing this. What's the goal? Huh? Well, yeah, but it goes beyond that. You want them to do something. What do you want them to do first? Huh?
House meeting.
Right. You want to get them to hold a house meeting. That means a little work on their part, you know? So that's why it's easier to get some work out of a person where you have a sympathetic lead into them through a friend of theirs or through the priest, the minister, whatever, than it is to just go at them cold and start talking to them. And you probably have to work a little harder on them where you don't have a sympathetic person to run interference for you, you see, or where you don't already know them yourself. Now, some of you people know these people quite well. You've already been helping them. They're the ones to go to first because you know them and they trust you and you've done something for them. And now it's their turn to give back. They've been receiving, now they got to start giving. And so I think that what you said, Ann, though, is very good. If you don't have these other people to make use of, to lead you to somebody, you know, or to hold a house meeting themselves, because they, you see, the people that you know who are sympathetic may already also know those people who go down to the Social Security office, and they can invite them, you see, and they'll come. Or some of them will anyway, if you do the right kind of a job on it.
How do you hold a house meeting and say they just have a room?
Well, you hold a room meeting. Are you thinking about a barracks type thing where
no,
you got four?
No, some people just live in a hotel or a rooming house.
Well, that's okay.
Hotel meeting.
Yeah, that's right. But see, I know Caesar used to hold.
Maybe in the yard or something.
Well, if the room is really too small, if it is really too small, but it doesn't make a difference as long as you can sort of have a little bit of privacy there. Because otherwise, you know, you're constantly being interrupted by people going back and forth and all that. So it'd be better to hold it off in a corner or someplace outside, I'd say, than holding it in a hall in a rooming house or something like that, just because the room is too small. But usually the rooms are big enough to hold four or five people, and that's, I would say, on the average, that's going to be about it.
How many?
Four or five. Don't be discouraged if you only get four or five, because that's the national average.
Don't be discouraged if you get two.
Yeah, right. But some people, you know, think that when you talk to them, well, how many people do you want, let's say? And then some organizers say, well, get as many as you can. Okay, I'll get about 15 or 20. Well, of course, what it really boils down to is two or three or four or something. After I know that Pico Rivera down there in Los Angeles, somebody told the organizer out there, I think it was Bobby La Cruz, either Bobby or Aggie, that they were going to get 100 people to come to the house. So this guy sat down and wrote letters to 100 people. You know how many showed up? None. He was very disappointed.
I think we have had
yeah.
Kind of experience.
Right. Yeah. But,
you know, that's the importance of the housing, is putting people to work, because they're
Pardon me?
You know, the importance of the housing is self-organizing, and also at the same time, putting those people to work.
Oh, I know it.
Because if you don't put them to work right away, you lose them again.
That's right. Well, that's why you, the first thing you want them all to do is to all hold house meetings, you know. And the second thing is to all come out on the line or give them billboards or go from house to house with leaflets. By the way, while I think of it, I brought along an old CSO leaflet that we used to use for the service center. See, the service center idea, at least in Caesar's and my experience, started with the CSO. It started with Caesar, because he's the one that started the service centers, the CSO. And this is an old leaflet. On one side, in English, CSO, the Community Service Organization. And then over here, las organizaciones para el servicio de comunidad, Centro de Servicio, and so on. And we have up here, you need help. That's the first thing. It says, are you too old to work, or too sick, or too disabled? Have you been tricked by a dishonest salesman? Are you unable to get your driver's license because you can't read English? No. And some of the people that we deal with have these problems, and they also, if you got your insurance, so you can drive without being, you know, if you get in an accident, not be put in jail. If you have these problems or problems like it, you'll be glad to hear we have a service center to help you. And then we tell them about what the service center is, and we say benefits of the, or for we say members here at the CSO, but for the old timers, or however you want to file, the Poor People's Union files claims against those who have discriminated in employment and housing. It lodges protests and police brutality cases. It arranges immigration papers, sets up citizenship classes, it prepares appeals involving welfare, workers' compensation, unemployment, insurance, disability insurance, helps in all cases concerning government matters, provides interpreters and representatives to directly assist the people before the appropriate offices of the government, in cases of welfare, social security, pensions. It offers protection against various types of personal abuse and so forth. It gives all the things that the CSO, and then it tells what the CSO has done nationally and on a statewide basis. And so we pass these out door to door all through the neighborhoods. And you'd be surprised how, as I say, they're in both English and Spanish. And it really got the word around in a big hurry after we once, you know, had the office ready to receive it. And I think that I mentioned some of the, or maybe the majority of the old timers that we're going to be dealing with, the People's Union, would like to become active in doing something. You know, they're sick of just sitting around. And one of the things that they could do, in addition to helping on the boycott, you know, would be helping out on the picket line, would be to go from house to house with these and with a leaflet about the Gala boycott, you know, and talk to people, because they love to talk, a lot of them. And it'd be a big help. So these, like you said, I guess Robert said, yeah, that's right, that's what we're after for. So we either know people who know them, or we know them directly so that we can go directly to them, because we've been helping already the service center, or we know them in some way as people that are sympathetic. So we start working on the people that are sympathetic, and before we go to any of these other routes, because it's easier to get them to do something that we want to do, than to hold a house meeting. So, as a last resort, I would go these other ways that you mentioned, go down to Social Security headquarters, talk to them, or the Meals on Wheels, or whatever that Paulie was talking about, or the mission, like you mentioned up there. And then there's still another way, and that is by going from house to house, with the leaflets yourself, because here and there, in addition to talking to people about the Galloway boycott, about the service center, you'll find people who want to do something, and they'll sort of burst into flame and want to know if there's anything that they can do, anything, you know, besides what you've already asked them to do. So that's the time to start bearing down and start talking to them about holding a house meeting. there are always ways, all across this country, you know. Now the boycott, for instance, has been in effect for 10 years. There are people in nearly every community in this country outside of the Deep South, that other country, where people know they've either been in contact with people within a boycott, somebody, or else they've been getting a malfriado, or else they've been making a pledge, or they've been contacted in some way. So the same thing holds true, certainly, for the rural areas, much truer for the rural areas, because the union has been right here, and they know about the marvelous history of the union. Okay?
Right.
Huh? Well, you see, it depends on two things, at least two things that I can think of. It depends on how good a job you have done during your talk with them at the house meeting, or, well, mainly at the house meeting itself. If you've been led to them, or a sympathetic person, sympathetic old-timer has called them to his or her house, and in the course of your remarks, you have mentioned several issues that the old timers, that the old timers are interested in. Because some of the old timers in some of the other areas where the same program, Poor People's Union program, is going on. Where are you from?
Selma.
You're from Selma. Well, then you'd be talking, well, when you're talking at the house meeting, the old timers, you might say something like this, you know. This program is going on not only here in Selma and in Fresno and in Sanger and on up there in Mendota and Fireball and so on, but also down in Tulare County and Kings County, down in Bakersfield and Delano and so forth. In other words, we're setting up branches of the Poor People's Union all over the valley, beginning here in the lower part of the valley, and then gradually we work up to Sacramento and down to San Diego and so on. Well, also, oh, what I'm talking about, we've already got San Diego. And some of the people there have been telling our organizers that they like this sort of thing, or they would like to have this kind of a service, or this kind of a service, and so forth. Or maybe people right here in the Selma community, the old timers, have been telling us that they would like, that they want to get organized in order to get better transportation. Maybe they want transportation stamps, or they want to get this meal done with, or they want to get a better deal on Social Security, or they want to, whatever the issue is, they want to get more help than they're getting, a better deal, less abuse at the hospitals, for instance, and they'd like to get cooperative housing and whatever. And then, so those are things that the union is set up to help them with, to help you with. Now, some of them are long-range things, you know, like transportation stamps, which is supposed to be like food stamps, except they're for transportation. And some of them are things that the union can help on right away, and that they can help themselves on with the help of the union organizers. But there are a number of other things that they can, a number of other goodies that they can get through the service center. And we tell them all about the service center and try and touch on various things that we think some of them might be interested in. So the reason I'm going on at great length is because what I'm leading up to is that by the time we get to the end, we've got them on hooks. We've got them on several hooks, you know, we hope. So by the time we get to the end and we start trying to get them on this other set of hooks, which is their help to the organization, they can see that it's going to be a tal para qual or quid pro quo thing, you know. In other words, the union is and so forth is willing to help you, and in turn, we expect some help from you. In other words, it goes, it's a two-way street, and this is how you can help the union. And the first way to help is by holding a house meeting yourself, like Mr. So-and-so here tonight is holding a house meeting. We'll get into all this later. After you've tried, well, I'm getting way ahead of it, but after we've gotten as many house meetings as we can out of the people that are at this one house meeting, then we go after them on the other issue, on the action program. Try to make as many converts as we can to come and help in some way in our action program. Now, true enough, as you say, some of them are going to be a little reluctant at first. Well, if they are reluctant about the action program, okay, as long as they have agreed to hold a house meeting. Because if they've agreed to hold a house meeting and to do the work necessary to get people to their house and so forth, they've put that much more time, they've got a greater vested interest in the organization, and it'll be easier for us to get them to, you know, gradually get them out on the line. So from that point of view, I agree. But we should work on them anyway. Some of them will be very anxious to help.
How about, like, in our area, there's a lot of people living across the border. Go into their homes and have
homes over there? Well, they're the ones who come across and work on the other side, on this side.
Well, like, a lot of people who've been taking Social Security still living across the border.
And they're getting
their wives don't cross. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would think so. Because they're you're winning them against participating in strike activities and so forth, or you're trying your best to. Yeah?
The Mexican Clinic and the Connecticut
Clinic
have
hospitals. See, eventually you're going to have people organize. We're going to move into the San Diego area or against farmers. You're going to have people organize on the other side of the border to help us on the other side and start, you know, to have strikes in San Diego and stuff.
Of course, it's going to be a little different, but yeah, that would be mainly where the farmers themselves are, not the old timers. That'd be the young farmers. For the old timers, of course, you wouldn't have too much influence. You wouldn't be able to bring too much influence to bear, I don't think, on the Mexican government down there, would you? In other words, you start organizing among the old timers and putting pressure on people. First thing you know, you'd be pushing up daisies or something. Yeah, right. Yeah. So they'd probably be mainly working with the farmers who come across the border and who do need help from our various agencies in the United States.
Like a lot of them are working just until they can get some sort of Social Security help. And then another person that we come across are people that are kind of afraid to go for the Social Security because they're still trying to immigrate their wife, and they're afraid that if they apply for Social Security, they won't be able to immigrate their wife.
Well, that isn't true, is it? That's not considered welfare.
But they said, well, I don't want to apply it because I'm still trying to immigrate my wife.
Well, they see it as welfare.
But it's not true. I mean, they're afraid, you know.
Yeah, because they feel they have to show their income tax, you know, what they earn in a year.
Yeah. They just aren't taking any chances.
Right? Yeah, because they're afraid they'll fail along the road, you know.
Yeah.
They're afraid even with unemployment, they didn't suffer.
Well, does anybody here have any idea that they are not going to be able to get at a sympathetic person who can, or several sympathetic people who can help get in touch with other people? Okay?
That's for the old timers, right?
No, that's for both. Of course, you know, with the we know that there are literally hundreds of the other, well, not necessarily in all areas, but we know that there are workers who either belong to the union or who have belonged to it and who are very, very sympathetic and so forth, and with whom the heads of the field office can get together and get them to hold house meetings and invite people, scabs and other people, to the house meetings. The old timers? So that even if we know just a few, when we meet with them and we start mentioning those few, then they'll start bringing out some others that we don't even know about. if we do a good job. Just like in that thing that I read to you about that Caesar did, that house meeting, he started talking about one thing and they immediately came out with a lot of other things, and that's the way it usually works. Well, the old people, of course, you're going to be able to get at them in the daytime and at night, but I don't see how you're going to be able, if there's just one of you in the service center, you're going to have to take care of your service duties in the daytime, right?
Yeah, it's just that we just haven't talked about any of that, and I know that my problem was when I first started doing the thing, which I got all excited and getting people into the office, and I just worked on getting all these people into the office.
Well, you see, if you do a good job, not just about the goodies that you can offer down there at the service center, that's only one small part of it. That is to sort of, you know, or get their interest aroused. And at the same time, if you let them know, now look, I'm just one person. Each of you has brought up something that you want me to work on. Now, you have to be five people that I met today. Well, I'm going to be meeting five tomorrow, five the next day, and so forth. I'm not going to be able to take care of all of your problems overnight. You've had those problems for 65 years, or I mean, however old they are. So you're just going to have to wait a little bit longer. I know that's what we had to do when we were organizing the CSO. We couldn't drop all the organizing and do nothing to work on the problem that we'd never organized. You know, we just have nothing but a service center. Well, we've got to have something more than that. The service center is not important, but we've got to have an organization in addition.
I like this. Some people are coming in with problems and things that happened in 72, 73, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they're rushing a bunch of, you know, can you get it done this week? You know, some take more than, really wait for 3 years on it.
Yeah.
It's going to take more time than it happened so long ago.
That's right. Well, the other thing, right in connection with that is, what you brought up, it is that unless we can at least double our staff, as I mentioned a while ago, this program is not going to work.
Because I have to agree with you.
See, also, right?
And probably
100%.
We also have to, I know it's happening in a lot of offices, like probably happening down here in Arizona, where a service center is, you know, is working service center, and things need to do a union, or unions do a service center. And that's not helping anything at all.
Uh-huh.
How about
you? Yeah, keep it separate.
How would you, okay, so you're doing service center most of the day, and you would have to do your house meetings in the evenings, or early evening, or early afternoon, before their dinner, or after their dinner? Or?
Well, it just depends upon what your hours at the service center have to be.
We're usually busy in the morning, say, until about 2 o'clock.
Well, then you could have a house meeting in the afternoon, or at night, or as you begin to get into it more and build up more and more momentum. See, this has got to be a campaign. Like Tina was mentioning when she first got into the service center thing, her campaign was to get as many people as possible in the service center. Well, our campaign is to get as many people as possible ready to come into the organization. And of course, we can't just keep them out of the service center between now and the end of the next 2 months. because we've been talking about this, as she said, we've got to do something, but we can't take care of all of their problems overnight. We do have to do something, or like she said, they're just not going to have any confidence in becoming a part of an organization that doesn't produce.
When you talk about Doug and the staff, would this be people that would be getting the room and board $5?
And this is one of the things. Yeah, this is one of the things that from now on we want every one of you to be on the lookout for. Caesar will be talking about that before we leave. He's very, very concerned about, as you know, about the situation. But what he wants to make sure of is that we don't get a lot of dead wood, or we don't get so anxious to get new people in that we get the wrong kind of people. And that's better than not having any at all, as you know. So. He wants to talk to you about that. Okay. Okay. So, well, let's assume we know who the people are. Well, that we want, or the person is that we want to talk into holding a house meeting. Well, this person very, very probably has never held a house meeting before in his or her life. And it may take a little persuasion, even though he or she's already sympathetic. So how do we know who he is or who she is, and how do we go about getting at him and talking to him? What do we do? Well, but we don't know whether he or she is going to be home, so what do we do first?
Well,
if they've got a phone, right? And, of course, I know in some places a lot of people still don't have phones, but wherever possible. What?
Just sit there outside the door and wait.
Wherever possible, we call, right? What do we say to him on the phone?
Sorry.
After that.
No, I say one or two.
Huh?
You want to meet him, you want to see him, or I mean, a coffee or something, or...
Well, just...
Well, you call him in person, you introduce
okay.
Who you are, and what's the purpose of calling her?
Okay, what's the purpose?
Well, you tell him, you know, what you're trying to establish, you know, and if you'd like to come to the house, you want to, you know, explain him or her, you know, the program, you know. And if she welcomes you home, and then you go home, and then you ask them, how about bringing you, wherever you are, I mean, bring your friends, or one or two of your friends, or your comadre, your compadre. You know.
Well, when do you ask them that?
Right there.
Over the phone?
No, when you go to the house.
No, well, you're taking the next jump. Just over the phone. And what you said, I would think, was essentially about it. Any of the rest of you have any suggestions on what you said?
Introduce yourself and say where you're from, what you're doing, and that you'd like to see him.
Yeah, I think what we have to keep in mind all the time is the sooner you get off the phone, the better. In other words, you call, you make the hit, connection, you get off as soon as possible. One of the guys I remember in the boycott in San Francisco, he was the lousiest organizer of anybody there, because when he started talking, he's telling the history of the CSO, I mean of the union. He had a terrible way of talking, just monotonous. He's pretty good at putting to sleep. His love was all asleep. But he found out, he was a great planner, and he found out that everything in life had to be planned. So he planned his telephone call in three sentences. I think it was maybe it was four, very short. And it went something like this. Hello, my name is so-and-so. I'm with the United Farm Workers. This is calling a sympathetic ear. The other person on the other end is already sympathetic for one reason or other. Oh, yeah, yeah. And have you heard about our new organization? Or the organization that we're just starting? Or have you heard about the new